Well, anyway, I want to welcome you to week 6 of our current series. And does anybody know what the name of the series is? Happy, happy, happy. So on three, everybody put on a smile, even if you got to fake it until you make it. Let's be happy, happy, happy. Everybody smile. One, two, three. Okay. I didn't say happy. I said smile. Okay. Smile, everyone. Feel like that little guy from, what was the name of that show? Fantasy Island. Do you remember Fantasy Island? Little guy, when everybody got off the plane, he'd say, smiles, everybody, okay? Well, let's go. Move on. Happy, happy. What we're doing in this series, we're taking a look at the Beatitudes, okay? If you don't know where they're at, they're in the first part of Matthew chapter 5, which is a part of a bigger sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are made up of 8 different qualities, 8 different characteristics, and they describe how we as followers of Jesus are to live our lives. So if you're ever wondering, what should my life look like as a follower? Great place to start is go to Matthew chapter 5, read the Beatitudes. Jesus gives 8 different qualities and characteristics of what your life should look like. And here's the deal. He said, hey, if you live this way, the result will be this. You'll be blessed. Don't raise your hand, but how many people would like to be blessed? I don't know about you. Both hands up. Give me the blessings, okay? And that word bless has been translated as, does anybody know? Happy, happy, okay? That's where we're getting our thought here. But what we need to understand is this. The happiness that Jesus is referring to in these verses is not dependent upon the external circumstances in our life. Meaning if everything's good, I'll be happy. My bills are paid, I'll be happy. If I get a promotion, I'll be happy. If I get a pay raise, I'll be happy. If everybody treated me nice this week, because it's really all about me, if everybody treated me nice this week, then I'll be happy. See, that's how the world defines happy. If all the externals line up, then I could be happy. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about an internal joy and peace that comes from God as the source of your happiness. Because if you're banking on external circumstances to make you happy, this is what your life's going to look like. It's going to be like a roller coaster ride. Everything was good today, I'm happy. Well, something bad happened today, I'm not happy. But here's the thing, when you base your happiness on God, your life can be like this, no matter what you're going through, because God's the source. And the Bible says this about God, He never changes. He's the same. Everybody say it together. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's our God. He's never changing. We can bank our life on Him. Okay? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at the 6th Beatitude, number 6. It's on the screen, and I'll read it, then we'll repeat it together. Jesus says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Everybody, let's repeat that together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think that's an amazing verse. Very, very powerful verse. And to help us have a better understanding of what Jesus is talking about here, what I'm going to do this morning, much like last week, I'm going to ask and answer, do my best to answer 3 different questions, okay? So if you're ready to receive from God's word, say, go Buckeyes. No, if you're ready to receive from God's word, say, go Jesus. I just want to make sure you are still awake, okay? And some of you are like, what just happened here, okay? 3 questions. Question number 1, I think, is pretty obvious. What does it really mean to be pure in heart? A lot of people have read that verse a lot of times. If you're like me, you grew up in church, you read that verse probably thousands of times. But what does it really mean to be pure in heart? Well, in order for us to truly understand what that verse means, there's a couple things that I need to make sure you understand. Number 1, you need to understand this, that when Jesus uses the word heart in this verse, he's not talking about your physical heart. Everybody say, no kidding, okay? He's not talking about that muscular organ that pumps blood through your body each day so that you can live and breathe. That's not what he's talking about when he says heart. But when Jesus uses the word heart in this verse, and actually many times as you see the word heart throughout the Bible, actually the heart is this, and I think it's on the screen. The heart is the spiritual center of your life. that heart, I would say it's the command post of who you really are. It's the spiritual center of your life. It's where your thoughts, your desires, your sense of purpose, your will, your choices, your understanding, it's where character, it's where all those things reside. The heart is really the spiritual center of who you really, really are. It's the command post of your life. So that's what Jesus is talking about. Not physical heart, but your spiritual command post of your life. Second thing we need to understand is this. Your heart is very important to Jesus. Your heart is very important to Jesus. Let me share a couple of verses that I believe will give meaning to what I just said. First one is Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Jesus says this. He says, and by the way, you need to understand the audience he's talking about or talking to in this verse. The audience that Jesus is addressing in this verse were a bunch of people that were all concerned about outward appearances. Their biggest priority was how they were portrayed by other people. They were all about doing the right thing. But how many people know you can do the right thing for the wrong reason? True or false? You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's what's going on in this group of people. Now let's read. Jesus says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees?" He calls them hypocrites. "For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and dish." What's he referring to? Your heart. I'm sorry. What's he referring to there? He's referring to your actions. Being seen and everything looks right. You're so careful to make sure you're doing all the right things. But inside, here's where I messed up. Inside, which is your heart, you are filthy. You're full of greed. And you're full of self-indulgence. He says, "You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and dish." So what's Jesus saying? First of all, your top priority in life should be this. And this is the top priority for all of us here this morning. For me, for you, for all of us. The first priority should be what? The heart. He's saying, first of all, wash the inside of the cup and the dish. Take care of your heart. And then the outside will become clean too. First priority, take care of your heart. And then if your heart is right and pure and clean, everything else will take care of itself. Does everybody get that? Say, "I get it." Get it. So that should be the priority. Let's look at one more verse, Matthew 15, 18 and 19. Jesus says, and this is very intriguing, "But the words you speak, they come from," everybody say the word, "the heart." Everything you say originates in your heart. That's what defiles you. "For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander." So Jesus, once again, is saying the priority is the heart. That's weird because our culture and our society, when people are in trouble, they're saying, "Oh, we got to change the behavior of our teenagers. We got to change the behavior of our kids. They got to begin to behave right and do the right thing." That's the culture. But the church should have a totally different message. The message of the church should say, "Hey, folks, let's have a change of heart." See, what we need is not everybody preaching how we should be acting, but we should be preaching, let's have a change of heart, because when your heart is pure, when your heart is pleasing to the Lord, the right actions will follow. I think one of the greatest prayers that we as a parent can pray for our kids is, "God, not help them not to do this or to do that." But could it be maybe our greatest prayer as a parent is, "Lord, could you please get a hold of my teenager's heart, their heart?" Because what's in the heart will determine what will follow, the actions, the words. And I think we've got it backward. We're always trying to change behaviors. And God's saying, "What I really want to get a hold of you and change is your heart. Because if I get your heart, I'm going to get everything else." Amen? Amen. So as we can clearly see, the heart is very, very important to Jesus. So important that he promises a special blessing to those who have what kind of heart? A pure heart. So here's the deal. What is a pure heart? Here we go. I hope you get it, because I've done my best to make sure you get it. Okay, a pure heart. What is a pure heart? I've done a lot of reading this week. By the way, I hope you don't mind if I eat some Wendy's while we're talking. You can't believe what's in here. Double cheeseburger fries. We're going to just have a good time. But anyway, no. What's it mean to have a pure heart? I've been reading all week, and it's amazing that everybody I read, every scholar I read, it surprised me. This is one of the few times that they all had the same answer. And a lot of the scholars said this, that a pure heart means this, that you have a singleness. Say that word, singleness. You have a singleness of heart towards God. You have a singleness of heart towards God. It means to be fully devoted to God. Fully devoted. Your heart and mind are fully devoted to God. It means single-minded commitment to God. Single. Okay. Got a knife? Because we're going to be throwing some knives today. And I've got a couple apples. How many people know this apple today is going to represent your heart? Your heart. It's single. It's together. It's one. Okay? Because the opposite of a pure heart is a heart that's divided. See, a pure heart is single, devotion to God. Okay, there's a singleness. But a heart that's not pure is a heart that is divided. This does not mean that you don't have any other interest in life. We're to go out, we're to live life. We have jobs, we have hobbies, we have things that we love to do. That's really important. God gave us those joys. He gave us things to enjoy. Everybody agree with that? But a single heart is this, that in all that we do it for Him. We do it with Him first. In all the things that we do, our heart is still fully devoted to Him. There's a singleness. And what I want to do is I want to share this idea of singleness throughout some scriptures in the Bible. You know, they taught us at North Central the best way to interpret scripture is with other scripture, because our hermeneutics teacher says scripture interprets scripture. We don't have to go anywhere else. We can go to the Bible to interpret scripture, okay? So what I want to do is I want to look at a few scriptures to make my point here. The first scripture I want to look at comes from a man named David, King David. And in Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4, he writes what many scholars believe is the Old Testament parallel to this beatitude. And David begins this beatitude by asking this two questions. He says, "Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place?" Sounds very familiar to the end of our beatitude, who will see God. Then he gives the answer. These are the people, only those whose hands and hearts are pure, and these are those people, they do not worship idols. Everybody say idols. And they never tell lies. So in this verses, I want you to notice who David mentions as the pure in heart. He says the pure in heart are those who do not worship idols. By the way, anything can become an idol. Good, bad, anything can become an idol. You name it, it can become an idol. I think an idol is anything that where we have greater affection for that thing than we do for God. That would be an idol. And that's what David says, is he says, those who do not have a pure heart are those who are what? They're worshiping idols. Idols. Because here's the deal. Is anybody hungry? These are the good apples too. Crisp. Oh, I love these. Here's the deal. When you begin to worship an idol, don't worry about me. I'm a big boy. Who wants that one? Here's the deal. Silly illustration, but I hope that it sticks in your mind. A pure heart is a single, fully devoted heart. Single, whole. An impure heart is a heart that begins to have idols. And as a result, it's no longer full. It's what? It's divided. So instead of your heart being fully devoted to God, we allow these other things to come into our life, our heart. Instead of being this, this is what our heart begins to look like. It's divided. Yeah, God's got a peace, but so does other things have a peace. You get what I'm saying here? Say, I got it. A couple more verses, James 4:8, the brother says this. He says, come close to God. Here's the promise, God will come close to you. That's a great promise. Wash your hands, you sinners, and here's our words, purify your hearts. And he says you need to purify your hearts because your loyalty is divided. It's no longer single. Now your loyalty is divided, and everybody finished the passage, between who? God and the world. He says, hey guys, you got to purify your hearts. And here's why, because you used to be like this, your heart was completely, fully devoted to God. Now your heart, your loyalties have become divided. Yeah, God's still in the picture, but the world, it's divided. Okay? Last example, Matthew 22, verse 37, a verse that we call the Great Commandment. Jesus is approached by these religious people one day, and they ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? They try to test him, put him on the spot. He could have chose 613 different commandments, but he chose one. And let's look at the verse, Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord God. Say the two words, with all. With all your heart. Say the two words again, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Three times Jesus says we are to do what? With all. We're to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our mind. That means a singleness of heart, fully devoted, committed to God. So you can't love God like this when we're divided amongst so many other things. He says, no, the great commandment is you love me, singleness, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. So I'm going to put this down real quick. I'll get back to that. That's what it means to be pure in heart. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is your heart fully devoted, committed to God? Which one of these apples would describe your heart? I almost licked my hands. That would have been disgusting. Which one of these apples? Because we really don't need to go much further. It's not my point to have a fancy sermon. It's my point to be effective here today. Is this your heart? A singleness of devotion to God? Or with this broken apple, and we could break it into many more pieces, is that your heart? Because question two is, what is the promise for these people? What is the promise for these people, the pure in heart? Jesus tells us what the promise is. He says this. These are the people that what? They shall see God. I'm curious, Lord Jesus. You're trying to say that person won't see God, the one whose heart's divided? No, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, the single-minded, single-devoted. They shall see God. Here's the question we had to ask. What does that mean? They will see, come on, they'll see God. Really? They're going to literally see God? Well, there's a couple thoughts here from scholars. Number one is this, that ultimately every believer will see God. Ultimately, there'll be a day where believers will see God. At the end of their life in heaven, they'll see God. There's the passage where Job talks about this. It's on the screen. Job says these words. He says, but as for me, by the way, how many people know Job was fully devoted to Christ or God? He says, but as for me, I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. That's going to be an awesome day for some. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body, he says, in my body, I will see God. I will see God for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. And I love his concluding thought. I am overwhelmed at that thought that someday I will see God. How many people can get excited about that? Woo! One day, the pure in heart, with their eyes, I believe this, with their eyes, they will behold God. Whew. But I don't know if I want to wait till then. And I think there's more to it than that. And many would agree with me that not only will the pure in heart see him at the end of time, how many people know the pure in heart can see God today? Today. Are you talking, man, I'm going to wake up at night and God's going to be in my bedroom? I'm pretty safe in thinking no, in the sense that he will appear physically. Moses said no one has seen God in what? Lived. But I really do believe the pure in heart can see God today. How is that? I want you to think. How is that? Many scholars believe that this means that the pure in heart can be people that enjoy God's presence here in this life. We sang about that. Lord, help us to behold your presence and learn. How'd that line go? Whatever your presence, we want to behold your presence. How many people know the pure in heart can be people that behold the presence of God in their life today? Oh, man. People search for something wonderful in drugs and alcohol and sexual encounters and riches and wealth and all these wonderful things. But I tell you what, in my lifetime, there's been nothing more meaningful to me and more soothing and peaceful to me than being able to behold and enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I want to live that way all the time. Lord, I want to live enjoying your presence, having that degree where my faith, where I see you, Lord, where I encounter your activity in my life, they will see God. And folks, that's what I believe that God wants for you. Me? Yeah, you. All of us. That we don't have to go trying to find things other places, but we can find everything we need in his presence. And who are those people that get to enjoy that, get to live in that realm, are the pure in heart? Their hearts aren't divided, but their hearts are fully devoted to God. Yeah, they have jobs. Yeah, they go to school. Yeah, they have hobbies. They love sports. They love the arts. They love music. But their heart is fully devoted to God, and they get to behold and to see God. Did that make sense to what I just said? Because all week I was concerned that it wouldn't make sense. But God wants you to see him. He wants you to see his hands at work in your life. His presence. He wants you to behold his presence in your life. God wants to be with you. Who does he visit? The pure in heart. How can we have a pure in heart? Number three, how can we have a pure heart? Well, I want to let you know it's a gift from God. It begins when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives and we experience this new birth. We become a new creation and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. That's the start of the process of having a pure heart. God changes a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. There's an amazing miracle that takes place in that heart of ours when we ask Jesus into our lives. But that's only the beginning. But we got to continue to mature that and continue to allow that to grow. So there's certain things that we need to do to make sure that our hearts are staying pure. And one of the primary ways that we can make sure our hearts staying pure is we become people, let me share some things, people of praise, worship, people of prayer, people that are in the, we always say this almost every week, in the Bible, in the Word. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. We got to get in the word. We got to live according to his word. That's how we stay this way instead of broken up and all over the place. We got to get into the word. We got to get into God's presence. We got to be in those places where we're seeking after God. So is everybody with me this morning? Don't raise your hand, but do you want to see God? Man, last week at the end of the service, we sang that song, and I tell you what, the Holy God just showed himself to me. It was just a powerful moment in my life last Sunday after the service, after the message, and we came and we sang that song again. God just visited with me. He opened my eyes. He let me see him, and I tell you what, it just carried me through the week. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love those times. God wants us to live in those moments. So let me ask you in closing this morning, what would define your heart? Singleness, fully devoted to God. God, even in the things I do, you're first. Even in my job, I'm devoted to you first and foremost. Or would this describe your heart this morning? Is this your heart or has it been divided? And if you're here today and you're saying, well, my heart's been divided, how many people know we can change that today? We can simply come to God and say, Lord, forgive me. God, I want to give my heart back to you completely today. And from every day forward, I just want to make sure that my heart, that there's a singleness of devotion to you. And I tell you what, when you reach this point, this is when you really have begun to live the way God intended for you to live. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God wants you to have a full heart completely devoted to him. Amen? So what did Pastor Mike preach about? I sure don't know, but I remember that apple. My prayer is every time you eat an apple, you'll ask yourself the question, is my heart fully devoted to him? Let's bow our heads. Why don't you just pray right where you're at? God hears the prayers of all people. Let's just be real honest and straightforward in God's presence. Lord, we just come before you today, Father. And Lord, we just want our heart to be fully devoted to you. We want there to be a singleness of devotion, of commitment, of loyalty to you. And Lord, I know frequently throughout a week I have to repent for allowing my heart to become divided. And Lord, I just come once again on a Sunday morning at the beginning of a new week. And God, I pray that you take all the pieces of my heart that have been spread out and spread different directions. And I pray, God, that you take all those and just bring them together again, that my heart would be completely yours. Lord, your word says in one of my favorite verses in the Bible that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. So, Lord, today you're looking throughout this earth. You're looking for a people that you can demonstrate your power and your glory through, and those are those whose hearts are completely yours. So, Lord, take our heart, bring it together again. And, Lord, may we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with everything. And, Lord, we pray that you would be with us throughout this week. In Jesus' name, and everyone together said, amen.